He's gonna take you back to the past to watch some shows that are real bad. He'd rather have to watch Mighty Peking Man 11 times with no stop. He'd rather have to watch Godzilla 98, but all the lines are replaced with farts. He's the angriest podcaster you've ever heard, but not really, because you've probably heard worse. He's calling Monster Island. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Calling Monster Island, where I, the host Godzilla Kid, will tell you all there is to know about Godzilla. And today, we're taking a journey over to Tsuburaya Studios to talk about some Ultraman, because, yes, I've decided that this month is going to be Ultraman month. So, in alongside to what we're going to be covering today, probably in a couple days or something, I will release my Shin Ultraman review, because January was a very complicated month. You know, we introduced the new format, you know, we've been brainstorming a lot with that idea, so we were only able to have one upload instead of two uploads that month, so I'm really sorry about that, but believe me, you are gonna love what we have in store for not only this month, but all upcoming months, because we got a lot. We got a lot to talk about. So yeah. Basically, what we're going to be talking about today is the three most recent Ultraman releases that I've got in my collection. So, that doesn't necessarily mean the three most recent releases, just the three most recent releases that I've gotten in my collection. So, what I got here today is Ultraman Zerth 1 and 2 on DVD, Ultraman Kids, the complete series on DVD, and Ultraman Tiga plus the special complete series on DVD. So, obviously, if you've been following up with Mill Creek, they said they're going to release the entire Ultraman series, and apparently after stopping after, what, was it Max, I think? They're just, like, not gonna do The Ultimate Hero and Towards the Future and, like, Ultraman Taiga and Zet and, like, any new gen show that comes out after Rube. So, like, it's not the entire series, obviously. Because if they did the entire series, then obviously they would have to do the Hanuman versus the Seven Ultra Brothers, which I don't think really anyone wants to deal with that. Like, now that Simpote Sands is gone, we don't need to bring that up anymore. You know, that never really happened. So anyways, I'm just gonna talk about that, and, you know, the new DVDs that I got, and, yeah, it's gonna be pretty fun. This might not be, like, a permanent thing. I'm probably not gonna do this every February, but I've really been wanting to talk about Ultraman. So, let me talk about Ultraman. So, yeah. So, before we get into any of that, we do have to bring up some news. And there's one really, really big thing that I'm going to save till the end. But if you're a Godzilla fan, you probably know what it is. So yeah. But whatever. But really, I think what I really want to bring up right now is that we have more Godzilla movies coming to the States, like, theatrically, for no real reason either. Like, it doesn't say that it's for a big event or anything. It really just says that they're going to be releasing them, which is really cool. So, yeah. That's a thing that's going on. So, yeah. So, the film in question that is coming to America is Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which obviously there's a Blu-ray and DVD release of it. You can find it on Amazon. It's really easy to find. Like, this is a movie that obviously has come to America before, just not theatrically. But what really made my eyebrows go up was that they're bringing Godzilla vs. Gigan Rex, which, if you recall, is the CG animated short film that was shown at Godzilla Fest this year. Now, what's really interesting about this is that this is a short film that was only aired on a YouTube live stream that took place during Godzilla Day and during a convention that took place in Japan. So, yeah, obviously it's not the biggest deal ever, but what this means is that Fathom Events is not only willing to bring more Godzilla movies to theaters, they're also willing to bring the short films, too, so we could get, like, Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, or, like, Godzilla vs. Gigan, the short films coming, and whatever happens for Megalon and Jet Jaguar this year. So I just think that, like, anyone who is talking about, you know, the Gigan film, short film, or the Ghidorah short film not being available on YouTube, like, obviously that sucks. It sucks for everybody. Like, I don't know why Toho is taking them off YouTube, but, like, honestly, if they're willing to bring them to theaters, we have a lot more chances for people to just record these on their cell phones. So, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm definitely gonna go see this literally just for Godzilla vs. Gigan Rex. Tokyo SOS isn't even, like, my favorite Godzilla film or anything, but literally just for Gigan Rex, I would go to this because I love Godzilla vs. Gigan Rex, and seeing that in theaters would be awesome. So, yeah, that's the first news thing. Second thing is that we got word of more Godzilla figures coming from the Bandai Movie Monster series. What really took me off guard is that we're getting figures from Final Wars. And here's the deal. Final Wars figures, that's a rare thing already. But these are for monsters that hardly ever get figures anyways. So I'm really, really excited. So first of all, we're getting a Ghidorah from Final Wars figure, a Manda from Final Wars figure, and a Godzilla from Final Wars figure. And then a Mechagodzilla from Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2 figure. So, what's kind of weird is that we're getting a Godzilla, or a Mechagodzilla 2, I guess Mechagodzilla 2 is what you could call it, figure. But I'm pretty sure they're already releasing, like, a Super Mechagodzilla figure. I could be wrong about that. Let me check that real quick. But I'm pretty sure they're already releasing a Super Mechagodzilla figure this year, so it just seems a little bit weird to release a Heisei Mechagodzilla and a Super Mechagodzilla figure. They're releasing a Super Mechagodzilla and a Heisei Mechagodzilla in, like, the same time frame, which is just kind of weird. Other cool thing is that we got, like, all of these really cool, like, metallic figures. Part of that are, like, celebrating the Shin Japan Heroes universe. And we have a metallic red Shin Godzilla, a metallic purple Evangelion Unit 1, a metallic gray Shin Ultraman, and a metallic green Shin Kamen Rider. Now, what's interesting about this is that these are literally for a Shin Japan Heroes Amusement World venue, which will open from March to May 2023. But here's the other thing. These are, like, gacha figures. So, basically, for a fee of 1,000 yen, participants insert materials into a machine and are given a random prize. So these are not going to be easy to track down. These are going to be like the Shin Ghidorah figure from the last ride amusement park thing. Well, from the Godzilla vs. Evangelion thing. And, like, the Godzilla and Ghidorah figure from the other ride. These are not going to be easy to hunt down. So if you find them, good for you. I want all of these figures because I do. They look really cool. Especially the Ultraman and Kamen Rider one. Since I'm getting back into Ultraman and getting into Kamen Rider, these would be really cool to add to my collection. So yeah. But whatever. It's fine. But woohoo! You know, we get a 50th Shin Godzilla figure. And, you know, we get another Evangelion figure. Which, honestly, getting Evangelion figures from Bandai, the movie, like, vinyl figures of Evangelion units from Bandai? Whew, I'm fine with that. This is awesome. And please, please, please keep making Shin Ultraman figures. Also, reprint the Mephiles figure because the first run of it on Big Bad Toy Store already sold out. And I want one, so yeah. Also, stop doing anime Ultraman figures. Like, I probably said something about this, but there's a Taro suit, a Zoffy suit, an Ace suit, and a Jack suit that are all going to be coming out in 2023, or already have come out in 2023, and they all, like, just look cheap. That's the only way I can really describe these. They all just look cheap. Also, like, why are you charging so much for these figures if you already have the Shin Ultra Heroes line? The Shin Ultra Heroes 500 line, to be more specific, actually. Because, like, anime Ultraman is still Ultraman. Like, it's in a different continuity, but it's still Ultraman. Ultraman Kids is in a different continuity, but it's still Ultraman. But whatever, you know? Wow, that ran overboard. Anyways. Final news announcement before we get to the big thing, which that would be that Playmates, they're releasing a Baragon figure. Interesting thing is it's labeled 65, which, if you'd remember from my Frankenstein versus Baragon episode, is not from Destroy All Monsters. It's from Frankenstein versus Baragon. The design, literally, it's Showa Baragon, so they both look pretty much the same. That's just kind of interesting, because every single time that we get something from, like, the giant octopus, for example, it's always referenced as that 65 version or the 66 version, instead of being just labeled as the 65 version, the 62 version, because of legal reasons because, like, the whole King Kong thing, which is what was so interesting to me because, like, it's a Baragon figure from a movie that has Frankenstein's name in the title. In both titles, actually. Well, most, I should say. So, yeah, that's just kind of interesting. So, yeah, that was just another figure news. I get really excited about figure news, so I just thought somebody should, you know, talk about the figures. Now, for the big thing that's probably going to take up most of this episode, actually, this intro is already running 15 minutes long, so what the heck. Let's just go a full 30 minutes for the intro. Yeah, so remember, I think I said something about Gamma Rebirth, which was a 6-episode anime that was going to be coming to Netflix around, like, March-ish, that kind of time frame. Well, we got a teaser trailer for it, and apparently Gamera is going to be battling 6 monsters, which, with the first of which being Gauss. So, interesting thing is, in this teaser trailer, they do the opposite singular point effect. So instead of seeing just the head and being left anonymous about the body for the longest time, we see a lot of different angles of the body, but we never see Gamera's head. So we don't know if he's still going to have his tusks or what his face is going to look like, what design it's going to be based off of. It honestly looks like they're trying to do their own thing here with the Gamera design. So, like, his spikes is, like, wind... like, how, like, occasionally Gamera's spikes would just point upwards on the back of his shell in the Showa series. There's kind of an effect here like that, but it's also not perfectly smooth like the Heisei series. Definitely kind of just reminds me of Godzilla Earth a little bit with this, like, very earthy kind of rock-looking design. It's 3D animation for the monsters. We don't know anything about the human design or anything. But yeah, it looks really good. But then they, immediately after they posted the teaser trailer, they posted a Gauss poster, like a poster. What I can say about Gauss, just silhouette-wise, because that's all we see is his silhouette. He's very, like, spindly. Like, he's very lanky. It looks like he's gonna have a very, very long tail, which is gonna be pretty new for Gauss, because he hardly ever has a tail. His wings look almost kind of ripped apart, kind of. Kind of like the, 2019 Rodan. Like, they're... It's weird to describe. Honestly, the wing shape, looking at it from here, reminds me of the King of the Monsters Ghidorah design, because they look, like, very cut, like, uneven on the bottom. Like, they're not perfect, but they they're not perfect symmetry, right? But you can definitely tell that both of those wings belong on the same creature. Also, a very triangular head. So, you know, it's a Gauss head. The thing that really threw me for a loop here was the neck is really long. Like, obviously not, like, giant long, right? But it's decently sized. Like, usually Gauss's head is just kind of on his shoulders. And maybe there's a little, like, inch of a neck there. But this is, like, this is a good neck. You know, like, this is a long, long neck on this thing, considering every Gauss design doesn't have a neck. Also, the other thing about this teaser that really threw me off is that there's this, like, like crackle effect, not really like a crumble effect. So there's like cracks going through his Gauss's chest, right? And it has this green light emanating from it. Here's the thing, though. That same effect is on the Gamera teaser poster. So it's just, it's very confusing because it's like the singular point red dust. Every creature has it, and yet we know nothing about it yet. Which, honestly, if this is a Gamera singular point, I will be so happy. I'm gonna check the animation studio yet, because if we get Studio Bones and Studio Orange again, let's see. Okay. Developed by Kadokawa. Yeah, doesn't say. Anyways, I'm very excited for this. Watch the teaser, watch the teaser. Also, they said 5 monsters. So even if we're just doing monsters from the Heisei era, including Gamera the Brave, you know, there's still one extra monster. So I really hope they go all in and just do all, I really hope if they do, like, all Showa monsters, because I love the Heisei monsters. Like, I love Legion and Iris, and, you know. But here's the deal. I love the Showa monsters, like, just goofiness so much. Like Virus, for example, he's a squid who can turn his knife, who can turn his head into a literal sword. And then there's Guirin, who is just a living sword. Could you imagine, like, a singular point-esque Barugan? Like, he's just got a very elongated head with, like, a unhinged jaw, and he can shoot his tongue out, and it just has, like, a boxing glove on the end of it to just punch monsters with. I would love that. That would be so funny. That would be really funny, honestly. What's really interesting about this, though, is that, like, I think at least what's gonna happen here is that we're gonna get a lot of cool stuff from this, because already they confirmed an SH Monster Arts figure. So if they do a redesigned Guirin and we get like a freaking movie monster series Guirin figure, you know how happy that would make 3 people besides me? It would make us very happy. So, yeah. That's really all I have for news. So, yeah. So, you're gonna hear a little intermission here, just like some of the newer episodes, you know? And just a brief little transition, and then we're gonna get straight into my new Ultraman DVD roundup weird episode thingy. So, after these messages, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. And, we're gonna talk about some Ultraman. So, I guess we should get the good stuff out of the way, because I want to rant about this one thing here. Ultraman Tiga. So I think everybody knows Ultraman Tiga, right? If you haven't heard, it's really successful, and it was basically in Japan, like, the second coming of Ultra Christ, because it literally, like, single-handedly saved the Ultra series. So if you don't know the story, after Ultraman Leo, ratings went down a lot for Ultraman, and Tsuburaya was beginning to be really worried about their company and the stability of their production. And then a little show called RX-78 Gundam came out. And they decided that show was really good, which it is. If you haven't seen it already, go watch it. And they basically decided, what if we took that show but made it Ultraman? And that's exactly what they did. And they made probably my favorite Ultraman series ever, The Ultraman. And yes, while the naming is very bland, oh boy, this show is... Oh, it's real good. So, basically, The Ultraman was supposed to be a reimagining of the entire Ultraman series done in anime instead of live action, which really works to this show's ability, because just characters move around so much more freely than in the original shows, and everything just looks so good, except for on the Mill Creek DVD release, where they tried to jam 8 episodes into one disc and also make it widescreen and also give it subtitles. And it doesn't look that great at times. If you turn the subtitles off, it definitely looks a little bit better because you don't have to look at the grainy subtitles that you can hardly read. But it's not perfect on that release. So yeah. I bought it regardless, because I love the show, and it's, like, one of my favorite Ultra shows ever. But then they decided, well, the anime thing, it's real expensive to produce, and even though it gave us really, really good ratings, and we would probably have the money to make another anime show like that, let's make Ultraman 80 and probably make the worst Ultra show ever made, which, in my opinion, it is. It's by far the worst. The plot is boring and dull. None of the characters stand out. And Ultraman 80 literally just looks like a bootleg Ultraman. That there's no other way to describe him. And that show got such bad ratings that they had to put the Ultraman series mostly on hiatus until 1996. A whopping 16 years after the premiere of Ultraman 80. Jeez. Now, I do want to say there were some projects in between that time. But, like, not really successful ones, so no one really counts those as, like, main Ultraman stuff. They're canon, definitely, but they're not really a part of the Showa or Heisei era, which I just like to call the void era, where Tsuburaya just seemed to be very void of ideas and was just reusing a bunch of their old stuff and either releasing it in a different region or flat out just being lazy. That consists of Ultraman The Adventure Begins, Ultraman Towards the Future, Ultraman The Ultimate Hero, and a couple educational whatevers along here and there, one of which we are going to talk about. Anyways. So, yeah. It wasn't looking great for the Ultraman series. But then it kind of decided to come back and release one of the greatest Ultraman anythings of all time. Ultramantiga. It's real, real good. It is so good, in fact, that it spawned a reboot / reimagining called Ultraman Trigger, which, yes, is official. The only thing about it is that it's literally a redo of Ultramantiga's movie, Ultramantiga: The Final Odyssey, but with a lot and lots of filler. Yeah. It's not even really Ultramantiga. It's just Tiga's movie. Anyways, so yeah, I don't know why I'm being silent for this long. I just really want that point to sink in. And also, I'm on the Ultraman Wiki because I'm looking up dates for stuff. So, sorry for the inconvenience. I should have done this beforehand. But, yeah. Now you get to hear my whatever is going on, you know? But yeah. Okay. So anyways. Ultraman, right? It's a thing. What I would like to just caution everyone about before we go into this, is that I really like Tiga. I kind of like Dinah. And I despise Ultraman Gaia. So when I do my review of Tiga, just know that this is coming from a place of love. This DVD makes me furious. So, if you didn't know, Ultraman Tiga has a funny little thing called copyright problems with a company called Johnny & Co. Well, Johnny & Co. is the entire reason that the movie, Tiga the Final Odyssey, can't be included on this DVD set. Which, in my personal opinion, is one of the worst atrocities Mill Creek has let slip. Because genuinely, I really like Tiga the Final Odyssey. A lot more than the actual special that is on this frickin' DVD, Revival of the Ancient Giant. Here's the deal, though. The literal only reason that it can't be released on this DVD is because of the theme song, Take Me Higher. Here's the thing about Take Me Higher. It was the theme song for the show. So what did they do to be able to release the show? They put in a new theme by renowned Ultraman artist Voyager. Why couldn't they do that for Tiga the Final Odyssey? I don't know. And literally, it only appears in the credits of the movie. It would not be that hard to change. And Tiga Take Me Higher appears in episodes 3 and 4 of the DVD anyways, so what's even the point? Honestly. I don't know. The replacement song is good either way. And I can easily just find Tiga the Final Odyssey on YouTube. So, at the end of the day, I'm not that mad about it. But Take Me Higher is genuinely one of my favorite Toku songs ever. And while the Voyager song is still really good, it cannot compete with Take Me Higher. Thankfully, Brave Love Tiga, probably my top five of all time best Toku songs of all time, is still in its full glory in the end credits of the show. So yeah. Tiga, right? It's a goofy little show. Basically, we get introduced to our main character, Daigo, who is half human, half giant being, literally because of this one thing that happens in episode one. Well, I shouldn't say this one thing. Basically, our main team, Guts, gets this nice little hologram of a deceased old woman named Yuzure. Yuzure warns about the destruction of the entire planet because of these goofy little monster boys. That then prompts the appearance of a giant golden pyramid floating in the middle of the sky, which Daigo comes into contact with, and cases inside of it three statues of giants. Tiga then takes on the power of one of these giants, and yeah. Did I really just say Tiga takes on the power of one of these giants? Daigo takes on one of the power of one of these giants, known as Ultraman Tiga, to then defend the Earth for the rest of the series. Overall, it's pretty good, and not a ton of complaints. There's not really any episodes I strongly dislike in this series, but the ones that I did dislike, they're not bad. They're just not particularly my favorite. I will say, however, my favorite episode by far, and what the Trigger movie is actually based on, getting the booklet out here for a second, is episode 44, Inheritance of Shadow, which literally introduces one of my favorite side plots of anything ever, which is a giant evil version of Tiga, succinctly named Evil Tiga by our cast and crew, arises and starts destroying the city. But what's cool about this episode is that it retains continuity with the last episode, where this weird deranged guy steals Daigo's main transformation thing, the spark lens. Thing is, he like pushes Daigo to the ground, grabs the spark lens, and runs. Then we see in this episode that he's configured a machine to transfer the light energy into another statue that he's found to basically become Evil Tiga. So after he uses the light energy with evil intentions, he fully corrupts Evil Tiga, making him permanently evil with no chance of redemption. So then Ultraman Tiga and Evil Tiga's old monster friend Guardy, who also has a color timer for some reason, have to try and reckon with Evil Tiga. Here's the deal, though. Guardy just tries to kind of make him stop by just hugging him, kind of. And Evil Tiga just kills him, like straight up, just kills him. And then Tiga, not a fan of Guardy abuse of any kind, just like myself, promptly annihilates evil Tiga and revives Guardi. Well, the host of Guardi, which is a Shiba Inu. I love this episode so much, if you couldn't tell. Well, you probably couldn't tell because my voice is completely monotone, but whatever. Okay, next thing. Ultraman Kids. So basically, Ultraman Kids ran during 1992. And it is an animated little Ultraman spin-off series featuring, you guessed it, children. Basically, our main character, Ma, was sent to planet M78 in a rocket ship for no apparent reason, with no origin story or real name. He grew up on M78 with a bunch of his friends, Piku, Tar, and Cebu. Here's the deal, though. He doesn't have parents. So, the entire first episode, everybody's talking about their parents, and Ma keeps getting really sad because he doesn't really have any parents. So, he decides to rebuild his rocket ship so that he can go find his parents. And that's the whole thing. Other thing is that they live with, Ma lives with his teacher, Mr. Grosser, who is a kaiju, and he runs a school, right? Seemingly only teacher there, who has a robot assistant, and that's it. It's literally a bunch of little chibi anime Ultraman children running around getting into a bunch of goofy situations and playing soccer, like, a lot. They play soccer a lot in this show. I love how much the alien Baltan is literally the school bully, but he's like the Bulk and Skull bully, where he's probably the best character in the whole show. And bully is a really, really, really mean term to use for this guy. But yeah, that's Ultraman Kids. It's very simple, and it's very cute. If you see this one on Amazon and don't know what it is, pick it up. Watch it. It's really cute. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was like $10 when I bought it. And the price, I think it was on sale. And the price right now is like $13. So, like, yeah, just pick it up. It's really cool. Okay, I knew I would have to come to this. So, Ultraman Zerth 1 and 2. Okay. Let me read you the exact plot description that is on the back of the box for Ultraman Zerth. Mido, the mysterious Yonder Defense Organization, launches an investigation into the sudden disappearance of gold across Japan. They discover the cause is Cotton Poppy, a giant monster who converts gold into energy for its master, Alien Benzen. The alien sees pollution as beauty and destruction, an art form,
and plans to use his gold energy to defile the entire world. Alien Benzin learns that Mido's bumbling new trainee, Katsuto Asashi, who is secretly the gigantic Ultraman Zerth, suffers from an overpowering fear of dirt and crime. He sets a trap for the hero in the middle of a filthy lake. Even with the help of Mido, can Ultraman Zerth overcome his greatest fear and withstand the combined power of Alien Benzin and Cotton Poppy? Now, if that didn't sound like the deranged scribblings of a madman to you, I don't know what will. I will say, this is the good one. And the second one, here's the description for that. The murderous alien Lady Benzin unleashes Ultraman Shadow to take revenge against Ultraman Zerth. The Dark Warrior batters Zerth easily, defeating him in a brutal fight in Antarctica. Alien Lady Benzin then attacks Tokyo, enslaving anyone in her path. As Mido fights to stop the alien threat, Katsuto struggles to regain his confidence and once again become Ultraman Zerth. But will he find a way to beat Alien Lady Benzin and Ultraman Shadow? Find out on this episode of Batman. So you can tell, both of these movies are pretty bad. Ultraman Zerth 1 is by far the best, because it's actually funny and has some pretty good moments to it, actually. The main captain character screams about everything, and it's pretty hilarious. Like, there's one time where he's in, like, this ship, which is called the Mido Skyfish, by the way. And he just incoherently, for no reason, just says, "Oh my god!" For absolutely no reason. Like, something startled him or something, and he just goes, "Oh my god!" Just like Wario. And it's hilarious. And, like, the main character, Katsuto, just really, really has this weird love relationship with his coworker, but can't seem to, like, actually understand what love is, so he's just like, "I like it when you play the flute." He's very awkward, and he's very much a germaphobe. Like, he hates being dirty at all, which is ironic because he works at a gas station. Yes, the main character works at a gas station. And I mean, like, this is the main group of heroes. They run a gas station and protect the universe from global threats. Even saying it out loud, it just sounds stupid. And I had to watch this movie twice for this review. I will say, though, the creature designs for both Cotton Poppy and Alien Benzin are pretty cool. However, Ultraman Zerth is a bumbling idiot, and I kind of love it. Yeah. Also, like, there's a scene where, like, Alien Benzin is disguised in his human form, and, like, Katsuto trips on something, right? And it's a running gag in the movie that Alien Benzin, anytime Katsuto is outside the store, he immediately pulls up to the gas station. So as soon as Katsuto trips on something, he runs out of his car, grabs Katsuto by the face, and starts rubbing oil all over his face. And Katsuto, for the next, like, hour, is trying to get this oil out of his face. And then has to transform into Ultraman Zerth using a toothbrush and, like, going back and forth really fast. And he's like, "Yes, I'm doing it. Brush, 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 brush." It's so weird and goofy and, like, wow. I never understand what's going on, and I don't really need to. Yeah, Ultraman Zerth is definitely one of those it's so bad it's good kind of movies. And I would definitely suggest giving it a watch. Ultraman Zerth 2, however, can go rot in the garbage. Because this movie has a more nonsensical plot than the first movie, which is alien lady Benzin, or lady, alien lady Benzin captures a bunch of Kennys and makes them work for her robot Ultraman Shadow. But they're all like karate students, but instead of just making them karate students, she like gives them new gis and like these super powerful gloves, right? Almost working as like a hive mind, kind of like human instrumentality kind of thing. Think Evangelion. But it's really stupid. Like, it's really, really stupid. And they just randomly start abducting people to mind control them. It's really stupid. There's a second ship that Mido has that I don't think they ever say the name of. Less is explored about Xerth's origin, which, like, is fine. But if you were going to make a sequel, I think you'd explore the origin of the hero from the first movie. But whatever. I don't care. And there's no other creature design besides Ultraman Shadow, which is literally just a color-swapped Ultraman Xerth, where instead of silver and red, we get yellow and black. That's it. That's literally it. And then we get a lady, or alien lady Benzin, who is just a slightly different alien Benzin from the first movie. And instead of riding this awesome, like, van limousine that turns into a helicopter for some reason, she just rides a motorcycle, and it doesn't look anywhere as goofy. Yeah, it was just boring, honestly. It was just boring. And the captain doesn't say anything now. So instead of his, oh my god, we get, yeah, it's really, really boring. Originally, I thought this was going to include the special that aired alongside Ultraman Xerth 2, Ultra Nian, which is a short little 9-minute anime about a cat. And it was really cute, and I wish it would have been included on here. And that's one of the main things that Mill Creek still needs to release. And yes, I am counting on a Mill Creek release of Ultra Nian. So yeah. That was the beginning of Ultraman Month. If you enjoyed, please subscribe to the podcast. Please, you know, like and hit the subscribe, whatever YouTubers say. You know, you can listen to me on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, for some reason not SoundCloud yet, but whatever. So yeah, wherever you get your podcast, just suggest me to a friend. I would love it. I really, really love all the attention I get from you guys. I know it's not much, but you know, this is just my personal little thing, so. Thank you for your continued support, and, you know, leave me a review on iTunes, I'll read it out on the cast. And without further ado, bye.